Let's pray. Lord Jesus, would you open our hearts and minds to what you have to say to us this morning by your Spirit, we pray. In your name. Amen. So we are in the first Sunday of Lent, you'll see the colors around have changed to purple. Thank you to the people that do that. It's quite a lot of work, but lots of fun. So if you want to get involved next time they change them, ask me later and I'll tell you who to talk to, and they'd love a hand, especially if you'd like reaching up to tall things, I'm sure. So the colors change, the season of the church has changed to one that is penitential, purple being a color symbolizing that. Many of you have been through Lent before, and you'll know that Lent is an invention of the church. Although this passage in the Bible is where we kind of get the idea from as church, it is one of those things that the church has used as a way to help people in their faith. And that means you don't need to be religious about it. I know your brain's kind of going, what? The priest is telling me not to be too religious. If you find that spending time in Lent, giving something up or taking something on helps you in your faith, then go for it. If you find it just stresses you out and is an absolute pain, then feel free not to. We see the example of Jesus being tested in the wilderness. Just before this happened, let's have some interaction, shall we? Just to see who's awake. What happened just before this in Luke's gospel? He was baptized. Thank you. You were good this morning. Well done. Yes. Jesus was baptized, and then the voice from heaven comes down and says, "You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Where else did we hear that kind of language last week? At the Transfiguration, do you remember? Yeah, some of you were here. On the mountain of the Transfiguration, God said, "This is my son. Listen to him." So it's almost like there's a link between the two. Funny how that works. So this is Jesus who's just been baptized, filled with the Spirit. Then we get the whole genealogy. I noticed nobody mentioned that we had a genealogy. So there you go. Next time I ask the question, remember this. There's a genealogy that shows how Jesus was linked back in the through history. So then the first thing he does once he's baptized and we've had the genealogy is he goes into the wilderness. And in the wilderness, it says, verse 2, for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And at the end of them, he was hungry. I expect he was. And now we could spend time going into what's the science and is it technically possible that Jesus might have been able to eat absolutely nothing. Maybe he could have survived on water or all those things. But that's not the point. The point is we get three examples of Jesus being tempted, and each time Jesus says no to the temptation. And these kinds of temptations are the sort of temptations that we face. These are temptations that are about trying to draw Jesus into sin, and sin being something that separates us from God. So the devil's trying to get Jesus to be separated from God, his Father, who has just said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." So the first thing he does is picking up on the hunger theme. He says that if you are the Son of God, why don't you tell this stone to become bread? Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." You've heard it said that there is no such thing as a free lunch. As anyone who has ever been to a timeshare presentation will know. As anyone who has ever been lured in by the casino's $5 or $10 all-you-can-eat buffet lunch, there is no such thing as a free lunch. We, as people who get hungry, and some of us get hungry quite often, get lured in by samples. I know some of you are as religious about going to Costco as you are as coming to church. And that's what they lure you in with the samples. They get you to bring your children so that they can be lured in by the samples. Oh, can we buy this? It's only $19.99. We know what it is to be tempted. And often, we give in to temptation, don't we? We might have strategies if it comes to food to not be tempted. There are a lot of people in this church who wash their teeth after dinner in the evening, and then when they come to a thing in the evening, they manage to resist the temptation of any cakes or treats or other things that we have. Several people. And I think that's a great strategy and a way to try and avoid being tempted by the cake. I haven't tried that one myself. So as the devil is trying to tempt Jesus with the most basic of things, food, Jesus says, using scripture, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." All right, that one didn't work, thinks the devil. So he tries another approach. Leads him up to a high place and shows him all the kingdoms. If food doesn't work, then maybe power will. And he says, "I will give you all authority and splendor. If you worship me, it will all be yours." So often we see, and you'll know this if you've ever watched a movie or the news, the storyline tends to be the same. The people with power that demand that you worship them and they'll give you lots of things. Again, there's no such thing as a free lunch. And we can see people getting sucked in to these different things that they are offered if they put their worship in the wrong place. And there are consequences. Pretty much like half the movies ever written have this basic plot. And it's this tussle between the right and wrong of who we should worship and who we shouldn't. Jesus says, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Second temptation doesn't work, so the devil thinks, "I'll try one more time." Leads him to Jerusalem and has him stand at the highest point. And now he wants to test that if he has the power of God in him. So he uses scripture against Jesus. He says, "If you throw yourself down, you'll be caught, for it says, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." And that comes from Psalm 91. So he's basically trying to say to Jesus, if you jump off, the angels will catch you. And that will prove that you're the Son of God. Well, Jesus doesn't need to prove to the devil that he's the Son of God. And so again, he answers with scripture. "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." So after three times, for the moment, the devil gives up. Jesus manages to survive the 40 days without being tempted. It is much harder, I want to suggest, for us to survive 40 days without being tempted, let alone a whole lifetime. And we could get into a place of despair, of going, "I'm a terrible person, I'm not doing very well." Or, looking at it the other way, we can be grateful that God sent his Son, who was tempted, who didn't give in to the temptation, and so that he knows what we're going through and what we're feeling, and he gives us an example of a way out, which in this case, three times, he does the same thing. He uses scripture. The scripture that he's learned as a child and a young person and a young adult, that scripture, that's what he uses to come back to. And so that's the key that we have too. We are not the Son of God. But we do have the same scriptures. And so as we spend time, to quote the collect, of course I'm going to quote it wrong now, I'm saying to quote the collect, learn, mark, and inwardly digest. I feel like I missed a word there. But I like the inwardly digest bit. read, maybe? Yes, thanks, Kathy. Read, learn, mark, and inwardly digest the Word of God. And as we do, then we get into those places where we might be tempted, and that scripture will come back to us. And it comes back to us sometimes from scripture. More often than not, I find it comes back to me through a song, because the songs we sing are full of scripture. And so it's the song that comes into my head at just the right moment that the Spirit puts there. And I know for others, see nodding, that's for us too. We will be tempted. And if you choose in these 40 days to give something up or take something on as a way to kind of grow as a spiritual muscle building program, then great. You'll be tempted. And chances are, more often than not, people fail. Sometimes they fail within a week of Lent, sometimes it takes 2 weeks or three or partway through. And the challenge with Lent is, if you are doing a giving up thing and you fail, to say, okay, tomorrow I'm going to get up and I'm going to try again. Because how many times do you say, well, I tried to give up this for Lent and it didn't work, so now I've stopped. That kind of is missing the point. The point is, we're not Jesus. We're going to be tempted. We're going to fail. But as we get knocked down, we get up again. There's nothing that will keep us down when we have God living in us. And so, in these days, I want to encourage you to do what Jesus did. Keep drawing on scripture. Keep praying on, meditating on the Word of God. And as you find yourself tempted, ask the question, I wonder if there's something that would help me here. Maybe there's a song I could put on my radio or device. Maybe there's a scripture I could read. Maybe there's a poem, something that will just help you in that time of testing. To draw back to Jesus. It's interesting, some of you will notice that in the third song this morning we sang Hallelujah. And there is a tradition that we don't sing Hallelujah in Lent. And it's not a biblical tradition. I'm not even sure it's an Anglican tradition if you look at the Book of Common Prayer, which obviously you do regularly. Hallelujah means praise the Lord. And what I've noticed in Lent, and I've been here for 9 years now, and I've got the graph to show it, that one of the things that people give up in Lent, do you know what it is? Church. Every year, we see less people coming to church in Lent. Now, it may be because the weather's changing, and the clocks change, and the sun, you know, whatever, I don't know. But I think, and I would say this, wouldn't I, because I'm the priest and you pay me to say this, so, you know, I'm going to say it. But I think the thing about church is, even when we've had a bad week, shall we say, we've fallen away, we've failed to read the Bible, we haven't listened to the Christian radio station once, we've done nothing in our faith, it seems. Maybe we prayed when we needed that parking space at Superstore or other stores are available too, with similarly busy car parks. Digressing now. What was my point going to be, Brad? it's gone. It's gone. I was getting there. Sorry? We prayed about a parking spot. Right, okay. So, okay, thank you, church. You see, you helped me finish the sermon here. I wasn't going to say this, but now I am. But church is there. And by church, I mean coming to church on Sundays to worship. It's a place that we can come. And whatever our week's been like, whether we've been deeply faithful and deeply prayerful or not at all, and we come and we have a reset, and we have a refill, and we hear and sing songs, and we hear scriptures, and we hear somebody talking, which we call a talk or a sermon, and maybe there's one little nugget in that that might be helpful. And so that's why I think it's so important, because the regular habit of coming and listening. And you can connect online if you can't be here in person, and all those things are true too. But that's just a way to pull us back. pull us back to the call of God, which is always calling us back. Think of the image of the prodigal son and the father running out to welcome people. And that's what our welcome team do here on Sundays, is they may not run out to welcome you, but they open the door and welcome you as you arrive. And it's so important to do that. So that's my encouragement this Lent. Maybe you know others, and you could encourage them too, to come, and maybe this will be the Lent that for once we see more people coming to worship. So don't give up praising the Lord and saying hallelujah in Lent. Praise the Lord more. I'm going to pray. God, we thank you for this season where we see the example of Jesus being tempted again and again and not giving in to temptation. We thank you that although we're not perfect, we know the one who is. We thank you that whether we feel particularly good and holy or feel like we've erred and strayed from your ways like lost sheep, you are always ready to welcome us back with loving arms. Help us this Lent to lean into Scripture, to draw closer to you, and to keep on worshiping and praising your name. Amen.